This is Night Force Action Report from HorribleNight.com. It is July 2nd, 2013. I'm your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me tonight is Ethan Moses.
Hello!
And a couple buddies that
well, that sounded very Josh Lee.
I think Jeff Goldblum's kicking you off the alien ship, if that's how you're going to talk to us. Do you want to try again?
Why?
I don't know.
Jeff!
Jeff! Jeff! You son of a bitch!
Jeff, what are you doing? Speaking of Jeff, just for everybody who's out listening right now, we just look up every Jeff Goldblum and Conan O'Brien interview. most hilarious shit on the internet,
stop,
as far as I'm concerned.
Well, stop listening or watching this show. Go watch that other stuff.
We're
not saying
funny.
You have to come back, but just go watch that other stuff.
Yeah.
But if you don't come back, you'll miss Aaron McNeil's debut. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, everyone. Stars and Stripes is my new nickname.
That's a long nickname.
Is it?
It makes my name longer.
You know what we should call this guy? The same thing we call the flag.
The Aaron, the Star-Spangled Banner is glorious when it's waving in the wind, McNeil.
I like that. We won't shorten it or anything.
Before we get to the video games, gentlemen, Aaron, you went on a big vacation. Tell us stories of the real life.
I packed up my 3DS and Animal Crossing to travel across the country. Go into the mountains of the Smokies, the national park there in Tennessee, and then play Animal Crossing there and ignore my wife. No, actually, we went on a hike.
Had me going.
Yeah, we went on a hike. We went to the top of the tallest peak in the national park, Clingman's Dome. You walk half a mile up to the observation tower. Hey! And we got some pictures. It was really good. It was invigorating. You got the blood pumping, the legs moving. It made me really anticipate not walking anymore and actually playing my games. But yeah, we went on, we did a lot more hiking that day. Realized we don't like to hike so much all in one.
When you realize you hate hiking, it's about halfway through hiking.
Yeah, when you get to the destination and you have to hike back, hiking.
Always hate hiking when you're halfway done.
Yeah, so we're like, no more hiking, we'll just relax. I rode a horse named Red Bull, and he was at the back of the pack. He was really slow. The name was ironic. I was like, oh, fuck. But he was a good horse.
Is calling a horse a bull an insult to the bull or to the horse?
Maybe the bull. I don't know. If they had a bull.
It depends. What are you looking for? Speed or strength? Or intensity? You know? Don't call a horse a mule. That's insulting.
That's insulting to the mule.
Yep.
And the horse.
JPT wants to know if you screamed cock whine from the top of the mountain.
Well, no. I mean, there are other people. Their families there. They wouldn't get
there's
it.
There's fucking bears, too.
Yeah,
but what if they did get it? What if that 10-year-old next to you was like a Horrible Night super fan? And you just had no idea. First of all, you should not be watching these shows when we make cockwine references, little boy. But
we need a parental warning before all these shows. And we need to market cockwine. We need to get t-shirts out there so I'll know. Who knows of this already? Then I can yell
cockwine.
That's
true. That's a good reason to do t-shirts. It's an icebreaker. Like, we don't have to just weirdly approach people to see, ask them if they like us without, you know, just based on... We have the t-shirt warning. This could work out.
I'll go cockwine, and they'll be like, cockwine, and then we'll know. Well, high five.
That is the worst password system ever. You gotta have a secret phrase. What is the proper answer to cockwine? Show me your buffkins.
There is one, Show
yes,
me your
please?
Buffkins.
Oh, yes. Dude, you're gonna get yourself into tricky situations. There's neighborhoods in Berlin that if you're advertising such things, you're gonna be in trouble. So just be cautious.
Are those neighborhoods full of sexual offenders?
Full of sex, but and maybe offensive to some. Yeah.
Anything else going on, Aaron?
When we got back, I decided to take an extra day off of work because my body hurt so much that we went and saw Monsters University, and for a prequel to a movie that came out so many years ago, it was not bad. It's like a typical...
It's a hell of a review.
Yeah, it was not bad. Good job, Pixar.
I'll do it again.
It was pretty much like any kind of adult college movie where stuff happens, but it's dumbed down for kids. and it's appropriate for them, but they'll make the occasional joke that you're like, haha, I get it if this was more of an adult situation.
Yeah.
But I had fun. It was nice to know Billy Crystal still gets work.
I think this is his first work in a while outside of
he's just,
Oscar.
They mama, yeah, they freeze him.
And, they should.
They thaw him out for when they need to have Mike Wazowski talk.
Yeah.
Well, is there a thunderstorm happening?
That's back here. So we're getting some atmosphere.
Holy shit, that's
what'd
awesome.
Think,
yeah,
what'd
that's
you think
really
was
cool.
happening?
Yeah.
It was the wrath of Billy Crystal.
Well, I thought one of you guys was, like, struggling to, like, live. Like, I really thought someone's heart was going to burst out of their chest. I was really concerned, but I didn't know if I should have been, you know? So...
I'm struggling to praise Billy Crystal.
Yeah, podcasters have heart attacks after praising Billy Crystal.
While we're talking about some Pixar-ness, I rewatched The Incredibles for the first time in, I don't know, 5 years. It's a damn good superhero movie. I don't care how you shake it. So, man, that storm is here.
Grab
so,
a Snickers.
Yeah, you know what happens when the stream goes down. But it holds up. It's interesting to go back and watch some of the older, and now that this is one of the older Pixar movies, and just see, as someone who wanted to originally do computer graphics animation movie stuff,
yeah,
you never know how that stuff is going to hold up. You know, the first Toy Story can look a little bit rough. The first A Bug's Life looks really rough. But The Incredibles is not showing its age yet. The Incredibles looks like they stylized it more, so it might be a little bit more timeless than some of the other ones. But man, it's also just funny just to, again. I think it was funny like 10 years ago to kind of point at Samuel L. Jackson's like IMDb history and see all the random movies that he's been in. But he keeps doing that and just. Seeing him in The Incredibles and now as Nick Fury, that just kind of it's kind of I connected the characters that when I was watching it. It was weird.
and then
I finally got caught up, watched all of Mad Men. I know Aaron, you watch this show quite a bit.
Yes, I do.
The only thing I'll say about Mad Men is for whatever reason I've really liked the last two seasons, and I don't think that they don't seem to be the more popular seasons. But I will happily admit, the more like broader themes of Mad Men, I never understand what is actually going on the show, but I still enjoy it. So
sounds about right.
I watched the ending and like, you know, just trying to dodge Twitter while it's going on, as I usually watch it the day after. You fill in the blanks, and I was trying to dodge spoilers, but it's just like I don't know. If it could have been spoiled for me, because I don't really know what to react to. I just enjoy the character so much that you kind of stop caring, and it's kind of, I don't know, kind of refreshing to have a show like that for me, like that I'm not watching every detail, but I just want to see, you know,
the clothes, right?
Right. the clothes. I just want to see Roger Sterling be Roger Sterling. That's pretty much the only reason I watch the show. So.
Characters are really great. They're fun to watch, and regardless of what is actually happening on that show, it's like, who cares? Don Draper is gonna have a drink as soon as he gets to work, and he's gonna cheat on his wife with somebody.
Yeah, he's not a very good husband, not at all.
Most people aren't. Most of the men on that show are just horrible. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Aubrey watches that show, my wife Aubrey, and. She likes it, but she's always really mad at the end because she's like, I just that fucking glass ceiling is fucking bullshit. And like, I'm just like, why don't you, it's over. Like, you know, like things are a little bit better now. You know, it's fine. She's like, I know. I just, if I was back, I'd just fucking kill those guys or just at least punch them.
Whoa.
So she's always really angry. And I'm like, but then I watch an episode of it. And I'm like,
yeah,
dude. Like, this shit really happened. Like, there was a time this stuff, like, actually happened. And it was, like, 40 years ago that you could walk up and smack a woman on the butt and go, let's fuck, sugar. And then, like, it's fine. Like, that's an okay thing.
I would watch your version of Mad Men.
I was going to say, every man on Reddit would, like, exist. Like, everybody on Reddit right now wishes they existed in the 1960s because it would fit their way of handling women much better.
Oh, it's so funny, though. I've seen people say, like, oh, I wish I could just go back to the Mad Men time. And then whenever I hear them say that, I'm like, well, the only black guy I saw was like in an elevator going up and down all day, so maybe I don't want to go back. He had job security, I guess. People always went up the stairs.
The glory days, man.
The glory days.
Do you think there's a warning on time machines that, if you're a woman or a black man, please stay away from the 60s, the 50s, and every year before that.
I hope so.
You're not going to have a fun time.
You might want to go into the future.
Yeah, the future's going to be better for you.
Yeah. I think there's a whole other version of Back to the Future that got canned before it got filmed. So yeah, wait a minute. This isn't going to work.
So Marty McFly was actually a black guy in the original script. And they're like, okay, what time period could we send him back to that people didn't like just treat him like complete shit? And they were like, well,
a week ago.
We're gonna have to change this. Yeah, literally, yeah. Oh, I hate white people. So
tell me about zombies, Ethan.
So I finally saw World War Z, or maybe not finally, it just came out, so I saw it within a couple days. Brad Pitt, man, handsome guy. Damn, does that guy age? Holy
no,
shit.
No.
That's what happens with
when
my
you
wife.
Have sex with Angelina Jolie, you no longer age.
Well, yeah, that's probably true, but he had sex with Aniston, too, so he's ultra not aged.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine anyway, I won't get into that, but... So I went with my wife, which is always tricky when going to a zombie movie, because usually 99% of the time she's not going to like it. She actually really liked the movie.
Hmm.
And I know everyone who read the book says it's nowhere near the same.
What?
It
okay.
isn't.
When can – have we hit a point where people just aren't allowed to say that anymore? Can we just assume – the book is going to be different or better than what we're about to watch, but you know what? I'm about to watch this. Shut the fuck up.
That's exactly what that was the debate I had with somebody on Reddit. A very quick debate. It was World War Z, the book. There was a lot to it. So obviously you can't, you know, it's not like a Jurassic Park where, you know, Jurassic Park was adapted for the screen, so it wasn't like ultra violent, you know, so the kids could go see it because dinosaurs and whatnot. But like World War Z is a big book in terms of its scope. There's no way you could make a movie like that. And the fact of the matter is, let's be honest here, the reason that people didn't like it was because Brad Pitt was in it. And for some reason, Brad Pitt is seen as this like
he did
horrible,
kinda...
Yeah. Like awful. I love Brad Pitt. You see Brad Pitt in a movie, Johnny Depp in a movie. It may not be like the most intelligent movie on the planet. It may not be a movie that's going to, you know, stick with you for the rest of your life. It's going to be a decent movie.
Can somebody make
well.
A movie with all the crazy characters that Depp and Pitt have played, and then somehow their world intersects? And
that would be an amazing fucking movie. It's like all of the Pitt and the Depp universes, you know, kind of like the Marvel universes, like the multiverse of Pitt and Depp all comes together to fight the multiverse of Skeet Ulrich. I don't know why. I just think to me that seems like just, you know, because Skeet Ulrich is he's a poor man's Johnny Depp. I mean, everyone knows that. But anyway,
who's the Nicolas Cage fit in?
Oh yeah, they should fight Nicolas Cage. They should fight all the crazy Nicolas Cage characters.
Oh shit, that sounds like an awesome movie. You know, I know that we're going to talk about game pitches.
I was
going to
say, I think
we keep this in mind. Let's keep this in mind. But anyway, I recommend it. Actually, I thought it was a good movie. The zombies themselves, probably the scariest zombies, not in terms of like. Because it wasn't a very bloody movie, and it wasn't like, the, you know, there's some jump scares and stuff like that. But these are the fastest, like, fucking things on the planet, and they come in waves. Like, I don't mean like waves as in, oh, one right after the other. They look like human waves. And it looks a little bit silly at times, but it's kind of cool. And, I mean, zombies feel more like a force of nature as opposed to just humans that, you know, had a bad day and want to eat you. I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was a fine movie. It didn't, you know, is it my favorite zombie movie on the planet? No, but they did well. It's fine. They did a good job. I know they're gonna have to make a shit ton of money to make any money on that because they had all kinds of issues. But hey, bring Pitt into more horror movies. I'll take him.
So which part of Ethan likes this? Like, is this? I guess I was put off in the trailer by some of the special effects, like the whole like surging horde of zombies, like whatever that little effect that makes them look like they're like a wave of zombies.
Yeah.
Really put me off. And so I'm just, I guess my question is, did the part of you that likes the Resident Evil movies like this movie, or was it another part of you?
This was the part of me that likes disaster movies. Okay. I mean, that's what this is. This is a disaster movie. Most zombie movies I would consider to be dramas.
Oh, interesting.
Or like horror movies.
That helps.
This was dramatic, but it was more like, I mean, it felt more like Armageddon or something like that, you know, because, I mean, these zombies were just, they were insanely, like, difficult to take down. I mean, it was kind of a cool, their take on the genre was interesting, and it was intense as fuck, you know.
Now I just want Aerosmith to do a song for it.
Oh, they did.
Sure.
No, I'm not, just kidding.
They are.
But yeah, no, I will say that I used to think that the zombies from the Dawn of the Dead remake were the zombies that I didn't want to ever encounter.
Yeah.
Changed that completely. It's these ones. I mean, these are fucking intense. They don't take no for an answer. So that was pretty cool. Huh. But then what? I'm going to talk about it again.
That's fine.
I'm so fucking excited for Pacific Rim. It's not even funny. I'm so excited. I've watched the trailer so many fucking times. It's not even funny. And I bought the prequel comic because I was just like, I can't. Like, I've done everything you could possibly do in anticipation for Pacific Rim, except for order the action figures, which I'm fucking inches away from doing.
I was gonna say, why?
Like, inches away from doing. You know, in Amazon, I have, like, you know, I've checkmarked, or I've, you know, kind of reserved the two action figures, the Chinese Jaeger and the American Jaeger, and then also the Jaeger is what the mechs are called. It means hunter in German.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure everyone knew that. But there's also a movie book that shows all the background and all that kind of stuff. And then I made my own mech on Monday, which there's actually an app that, you know, you can get and make your own mech. And they don't look awesome, but, you know, it's fine. I mean, I have, like, absorbed as much out of this movie as I possibly can. I want it to come out so much, and the prequel comic got me even more excited. Like, I'm like, oh, god damn it, like, this is gonna be so fucking awesome.
Aaron, have you ever been so excited for something where you read the prequel comic for it?
I will never know this feeling, Ethan.
I'm excited for the movie, though, Ethan.
Oh my gosh,
I was just trying to think about
that. Has it been like this? Oh, I can't remember a game for a long time, a game or a movie that I've been, like, this pumped up for, you know. And I think it's just because, I mean, you know, I love Guillermo del Toro. I can't pronounce his name or shit, but I love everything that he
Guillermo,
does.
Guillermo.
Guillermo. I love Guillermo. I've loved every movie he's done. And the fact that he loves monsters.
Sounds like
this guy is obsessed with monsters.
Mogwai.
He's gonna do monsters right, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's mechs, fucking gigantic mechs, 300-foot fucking mechs, and, like, and basically there's already people, and again, I'm gonna be really chipper today on the podcast, because the last one we did, I was kind of, I think, maybe a little bit angry, I don't know why.
You did start off bashing the entire person. Internet. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, we're live streaming on the internet.
Well, I'm going to bash real quick Reddit one more time, because I hate you, but I love you at the same time. There's already people like, oh, this is so inaccurate. A robot that size will vibrate to pieces.
What do you know about the science of giant sea creatures?
Yeah, and I just say, like, the same people that were upset about the you know, lack of science with World War Z are the same people that are going to hate this idea of Pacific Rim. Just don't go to it, then. I don't want to fucking hear you talk, like, during the movie. Your exoskeleton would crush on me. Come on. I mean, there was a big article that came out when Godzilla came out. They were like, oh, that could never happen.
Okay.
Fucking, of course it couldn't happen. We don't make movies about shit that could happen. Well, some people do. You know, that shit's boring, you know?
Well, the Power Rangers happened. That's a bunch of people inside of a mech, and that worked, so...
Exactly.
Anything is possible.
You can explain giant things in one way or another. You know, we're clever, you know, so... But besides that...
I like JPT's idea. Every time a Jaeger shows up in Pacific Rim, do a shot of Jaeger.
You can't... You know what? The funny thing about that is they serve alcohol in the movie theaters here, so you could well do that.
And isn't... So, like, they serve Jägermeister like it's water, right? It's everywhere for free.
I mean, it's cheaper than water. Yeah. Yeah. It's not free, but, you know, you buy a Jaeger card at the beginning of the month, and then you just, you know, you get it stamped. That's all we do.
Every 10 Jaegers get one free.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm excited for that.
Me too. Yeah. How is there not an awesome video game promoting this?
There's going to be one that's going to be released simultaneously with the movie. I'm sure it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I forget who's doing it, but I don't.
Just make your Rock'em Sock'em Robots game, but put these monsters and giant robots in there for now.
Yeah.
All right, on to video games, starting with new releases. Since we didn't podcast last week, I didn't get to ask you, Ethan, Company of Heroes 2, where is that on your playlist?
It's sitting there.
Okay.
I'm looking at it. I'm eyeballing it. I don't know. I haven't made the... I don't know. I don't know what's going on with me.
Yeah, that was...
I don't know why I'm not as excited about it right now.
Okay. Yeah, well,
It's because it's tough to find people to play with.
Sometimes I bring you on here just so you can think about things a little deeper. Yeah. So,
oh, I will.
That's out there. That's calling your name.
Mm-hmm.
So that came out last week. The big release of this week has to be... I really scraped the barrel for this. a game called Dark.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a vampire stealth character game. Action stealth game thing. I have no idea. Know, it looks really, really generic, and it's like $30. So...
Yeah, it looks rough.
And they shoved it out the week of July 4th. Mortal Kombat for PC. If I resist buying this, I'll be surprised. I kind of, after doing my Injustice playthrough of the story, I kind of want to do this with Mortal Kombat, but I need to find a buddy to commentate with me. So if that happens, that's why I'll pull the trigger on that purchase, because that's still... I think I gave that a 5-star review on 360, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That story mode was fantastic.
It was really good.
Looks like Sword of the Stars, The Pit, has an expansion this week called Mind Games. Ethan, I know you played that game a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll revisit that game. I wouldn't say it's the strongest roguelike out. There's plenty of things, but I'll see what this expansion does. We played that a while back, a long time ago, so we have some of that footage out there. But it's not a bad game, but just compared to, you know, Dungeons & Dreadmore, it's tough to play one when you have the other sitting there looking at you, so we'll see.
Chat's saying that the developer of Dark is Yuke's, who makes all the WWE games, so at least they got to do something else. The virtual console release of the week on the Wii U is the original Pilot Wings.
Good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then I think Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network maybe are getting a just generic co-op shooter called Scourge Outbreak, which is a re-release of some Scourge game that came out for PC in like 2010 and got really panned. So that's $10 if you... absolutely have to shoot something and want to do that in as co-op and are ignoring Borderlands 2 for some reason right now. So
which is stupid.
Big release week. I think we're gonna have a lot of fun with this segment on Night Force for the next few weeks. Oh man, it's gonna be
there's gonna be a lot of learning.
Yeah, at least all I'm asking is if you're going to release a game and you don't really care about it, at least give it a funny title so we can get some comedy out of it. So
Secret Ponchos.
But that's going to be a good game, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. All right, what have you been playing, Aaron?
I have been playing something that you have also been playing, and maybe everyone should play, and it's called Rogue Legacy.
Shit. Okay, I've written about this. Twice now, and I have the game Curious up, so tell me your Rogue Legacy tales.
So, I think I was introduced to this game by just some random dude on Twitter the week before it came out, before I went on my vacation. I downloaded the demo, and I was like, oh, I wonder how this plays on keyboard and mouse, and I realized that is a bad idea. So I put a controller in, and I'm like, this game seems pretty good, 2D kind of Castlevania, Metroid-like game, and you're probably going to die really fast, come back as a child that just has wonky traits. And so I'm like, yeah, it seems kind of goofy. I'll check it out. But I was sold when I was born, like, after my first character died, I was born again as a lady, a gay lady dyslexic paladin. Mm-hmm. And
did you have a beard?
And I don't know if I had a beard or not.
I love the ladies with beards.
Ladies with beards are great.
And also the ladies with beards in this game.
If you're bald and you have a beard, I don't know if that actually works out, but I was like, this is great. And then, of course, like almost maybe everyone else playing the game, you get the gay trait, and you're like, oh, I wonder what that actually does to the character. And you realize it does absolutely nothing.
Which one? One is awesome, and two, I feel like such an ass when we were playing that game live. Because, like, I'm getting into all the traits. I'm like, so what does this do? And, like, I'm just making all these presumptions about, maybe he's running different, or maybe he's holding the sword differently. And I was like,
God.
And then later it's just like, oh, man, that's the dangers of playing live. I didn't mean it, but it's fucking genius that it does nothing. That's awesome.
That is one of the best things about that game. It just pulls out, like, the worst in a person. Not to say anything bad about you, Justin, but yeah, you assume most of the traits actually do something, and you're like, oh, maybe something really tiny or minuscule is happening to my character, I just don't notice it yet, and it's like, no, your character's just gay, that's just the thing we're telling you.
Yeah.
It changes
nothing.
And that's
okay. Right? Is that,
and
we're all
fine.
On the same
Yeah, and that's fine, and that's why I'm like, I love the game. Well, I mean, she was dyslexic, so that was giving me a good laugh, trying to actually read what she was reading, but... Yeah, the fact that she was gay, I was like, I just gotta talk to someone. I went and told my wife, I'm like, she won't care. And I'm like, the paladin is gay and it does nothing. I'm buying this game.
Just come out of your office and she's sitting on the couch and you just exclaim at her with no preface at all. The paladin is gay and it does nothing.
It does nothing. And I just leave the room. And she's like, video games. Why did I marry this man?
Yeah. What are you doing with your life? Jesus.
Like, oh, no. But yeah, it's a great game. I put about maybe 8-9 hours into it over the past weekend.
What level are you at now?
I am in the 70s, last I remember.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I've died a lot.
50s.
Yeah, so you're not that far behind me, but yeah, I've died a lot, spent my gold. It's just a lot of fun. It's just, you're doing the same thing over and over again, but the procedural way that the castle is built and the way the story is led out to you through the journals of a prince, and that you can, every time you come back, you just find like the next number of the journal. So you're getting stories. So I kind of feel like I'm slacking because the prince has already killed like 3 of the bosses in the game.
Yeah. His journals are a little bit ahead. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's watching his mental breakdown, it's a really great story just for how simple this game is.
Yeah. Well, I just downloaded it during my stream earlier today. I downloaded it, and I put an hour and a half into it really quickly, and I was kind of pissed that I had to stop because we had to do a podcast tonight. I was like, oh, well, at least I get to stop or get to talk and play or talk about it and play it later on maybe. You know, the thing that I think is so genius about some of these roguelike games is this the fact is you are doing the same thing over and over again, and it is punishing, but they're giving you just enough of a nugget to keep going, and the whole prospect of upgrading the castle, and your characters are getting slightly more powerful as you go, which kind of takes that edge off of like the straight rogue-like game that just, I mean, you start out with nothing, or you start out with random stats, and I think that's a really good, like, I like that happy medium, but holy shit, is that game punishing. And the most punishing thing is that fucking downward sword.
The way that they've set up that down attack is, you have to learn just how it works, and sometimes, even after you've learned it, you still make the mistake.
Yeah, I suck with that thing.
Once I put the sword down, it's staying down until I hit the ground or an enemy, and no, you'll pull it back up and just screw yourself over just every time.
Yeah, that the timing of that aspect is. But I met my first boss and got my ass kicked. Like,
giant eyeball.
Shit! Oh my god! Yeah, it was bad.
I like the random elite characters that you run across too. Those always, like, it's just every run I won't say there's something new every run, but there's some standout feature every run that always makes me enjoy that run, or like makes me laugh because it killed me. And I played a ton of it, and it's the first game I've had in a while where when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Like more so than, I mean, it's crazy. It's more so than BioShock and The Last of Us have even done for me this year. It was all I was thinking about all weekend. It's like, I just want to play more of this. I want to play more of this. It's just has the right amount of progression and addiction versus the grinding, and then made the grinding fun. And man, this thing is, it's easily the, you know, we praised The Binding of Isaac quite a bit when it came out. I feel like it's the Binding of Isaac of 2013 in that it's, yes, something you can play for hours and grind through, but it's also a great just like 10, 15 minutes. Just do two runs and then put it down and come back to it. And you always feel like you're making progress. And it's also, I feel like it's a brilliant take on roguelikes. Like, it just used all the really positive aspects of roguelikes and made it not so soul-crushingly hard, or just, you know, it just won't completely leave you with nothing. But at the same time, yeah, each run is kind of its own thing. So,
well, yeah, it's different that there's a skill-based component in addition to the randomness, and you can, you know, you have got somewhat more control of it, but the skill-based portion kind of makes up for that completely. And I'm almost like, you know, skill-based portion for someone like me, I mean, you play Dungeons & Dreadmore, you can figure it out, you can take your time and whatnot. This isn't one of those games, so it's a struggle, but it makes me want to, I mean, this is one of those games that makes me want to be better at games, to enjoy them to their, you know, fullest potential. I really do, like, I think this is going to be a game that I'm going to be playing for a really long time. I got really excited. Like, I'm really mad at you guys that we had to podcast, and I apologize. It's really selfish, but I mean, maybe it was my fault. I don't know.
I mean, if you had been on top of your game and played this all weekend when it came out, and you went so far behind, it's kind of on you, Ethan.
I was so hungover on Saturday, there was no way that was happening.
That's what Thursday's for.
Also, that reminds me, just so fans of our podcast know, we've had guest alterations to our show two times in the past 3 weeks due to weekends going on a little bit longer than anticipated. And that's saying something when we podcast on Monday and Tuesday nights. So,
yeah.
Because... we did our top video game podcast this week, and Cole had to bail because he had no voice 24 hours later. So, we keep it real here.
Absolutely.
What else you been playing, Aaron?
I've also been playing a little bit of Gunpoint. I revisited that. I had it sitting around for a while now, also based on the praises of people from the almighty internet, and just something about it. I brought it up, I think, in conversation with you, and I'm like, I should play Gunpoint again.
Yeah.
And I played a little bit more of that, and I really kind of hit a groove with it. It didn't take me that long to get back into it, and just something about the goofiness of a man that can just launch himself around a building, just sneaking past guards and punching them until you're sick of punching them. I don't know. I love all these indie games I have right now, like we're saying, like, the BioShock Infinite came out at the end of March. Last of Us came out at the beginning of last month, and yet here I am. I could go on and on, just like giddy talking about games like Rogue Legacy and Gunpoint, just for all these little stupid things they do that just are so much fun, and. Yeah, and like, no offense, like Naughty Dog, they do like a great game in The Last of Us, but Gunpoint is a game that should be played, and it can be played. You just have to have a PC.
So every description I've read of this game confuses the hell out of me. So
pretty much,
help me understand it.
So Gunpoint is a game where you are like a sneaky detective who is hired by people to do these odd jobs, which usually take place in one building with any number of floors, and you need to usually hack something or retrieve something and then get out, and you're judged on how quickly you do it, how silently you do it, how much violence, and if you leave any witnesses. And your only means of attacking in the beginning seem to be launching yourself. You have this device which causes you to be able to launch yourself any sort of distance and then not take any fall damage. So you could climb to the roof of a building, jump off, and hit the ground. You'll make a noise, which will get people's attention, but you won't die. And the way they set this up in the beginning is funny. I won't spoil that. But you can climb on walls and kind of hang from certain parts of the ceiling. And it's kind of like a weird Mark of the Ninja.
That's really? All right. Now you're talking. Puzzly. Now you're talking.
Yeah. It's very puzzly. And you gain points every time you finish a mission. You can upgrade your launching. You can upgrade how fast it takes you to actually charge up that launch. You also hack.
Okay.
Like terminals and can.
Is it okay? Is this just a terribly named game? Because I get none of this from Gunpoint.
Gunpoint, yeah, it's. I don't know it. It's not a really bad word to say Gunpoint, but it doesn't not describe the game all that well. Well, there's enemies and they have guns, and sometimes they shoot you. So do they
point them at you?
They will point the gun at you, and you will die.
Okay,
although
accurate.
I had a moment where I was like halfway across a room, and a guard had to fire three times at me while I stood still, going, "Oh, I failed this," before he actually killed me. It's like a one-shot kill, so sometimes they miss. You know, a 2D plane.
You watched some of Stealth Bastard, right?
Yes, I saw you play some Stealth Bastard.
So yeah, I'm trying to still get a like how does the game feel? Like, is it like when you're describing it as Mark of the Ninja a little bit? It just is it kind of floaty? Is it tight platforming? Is it? I don't know.
It's a little floaty, just because of the nature of this device that launches you. You get like a there's a line showing you, okay, you'll probably go this far at this height, and it shows you your trajectory is what I'm looking for.
Okay.
And so that's usually accurate, but sometimes you'll hit a ceiling and it won't account for like your actual body type. It's just like, oh, you'll probably fly in this direction and you'll probably land around here, but I hit a ceiling once and dropped back into a building to where the guard shot me. And so it's a little loose. It's very forgiving. It's got a very forgiving checkpoint system where you can choose to either go back like 2 or 3 seconds, 7 or 8, 14 seconds, or just restart the whole damn mission.
Oh, wow.
That's it's
awesome.
It's really robust. It gives you a chance to, you know, instead of you manually saving so far into a level and having like tons of saves just to get through something that should only take you a minute, it just gives you choices. Which is funny because one time I went back 2 seconds, which was when the guy had already spotted me and was attempting to shoot me. And I was like, well, I will not go back that far again. But the other thing you can do is you can hack into objects, which also leads to funny moments where you can make a light switch open a door as opposed to actually turn off the lights. And so you can really just fuck with the guards in a level.
I like that.
Yeah, so no matter where you are, you can hack things. So you can hack a light switch in a room with a guard who's just kind of chilling out, and say that light switch in his room will open a door that you need to go through. But you'll leave the light switch right next to you as a light switch. You can flip the lights off. The guard will be like, whoa, the lights are off. I'm going to turn them back on. And then he'll open the door for you. But... You know, sometimes that's the way you have to get through, but other times it's just funny to do that. Even though you could have just flipped the switch and opened the door yourself, it's funnier to make the guards let you in.
I feel like this game didn't have... Like, some people were talking about it right when it came out, but it didn't have a very long tail of people continuing to talk about it. But it sounds like it's fun. Sounds pretty fun from your description, anyway.
Yeah, it's just a really fun, you know, indie game. It's not... You're going to break the bank if you want to play it or try it out. There's a demo out there. But yeah... Even trying to explain it now, it's really hard to just talk about everything within the game and accurately describe what makes it fun. I think the demo is a good avenue to actually see what's in there. But yeah, the name Gunpoint, it really makes you think, oh, I'm going to play
it. Like, I don't know. I thought it was like really tactical or I don't... It was... That's not what I expected at all. So
I find it to be more puzzly and seat of the pants kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, apparently that hasn't affected sales too much because...
It's doing pretty well.
The developer did. Oh yeah, he did really quite well. He used to write for PC Gamer actually. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't have his name off the top of my head, but there was a graph that was put up, and it showed like the point where he was like, "Okay, I've recouped all of my money," and then, "Oh shit, I should probably like make a comment about this." And then, he's gonna make more games. So I mean, that's
awesome.
That's cool thing. Nice. Yeah.
That's another reason I like indie games.
I would appreciate something stories. More from him, but maybe a game that's easier to explain.
Yeah.
But I might make a video of this if I can.
just because it's kind of related to the feel-good developer story, there was a post today of people were talking about the developer behind Abobo's Grand Big Adventure. I don't know if you guys remember that game a while back. But he just made or launched a Greenlight campaign for his new game that he's made with his daughter. And it's just, like, all about, like, it shows,
Chibi
like...
Chibi Night.
Yeah, it looks super Chibi Night. Yeah, it and she did, like, all the voice work for it, and I don't know, it's a really great pitch video, and just
it's
awesome. Really neat story, so I thought I'd throw that in there while we had a chance.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love it.
Anything else, Aaron?
Of course, you know, I can't stop playing The Crossing. Old Animal Crossing New Leaf.
The Crossing?
The Crossing.
Makes it sound like some show on USA.
Yeah, I was going to say, that or A&E, geez.
Characters welcome, The Crossing.
Are you playing it every day?
I attempt to play that game every single day. I buy turnips, I gather fruit, I sell stuff, I dig up fossils every damn day.
We won't go into too heavy detail because we are planning on doing a checkpoint episode on this, and I want to save Ethan's brain. But, Ethan, do you have any questions about Animal Crossing New Leaf? Because this is your opportunity to talk to two addicts right now.
I get it. I get the reason that you guys like this game and other people like this game is the same reason that I liked, you know, like a Minecraft or a Don't Starve is probably a better example of it. You know, it's just that you feel like you have to put work into it. But the thing about Animal Crossing, you know, that it's just like it's actually happening. It's actually real time shit. And that's so stressful. Like, I don't know. How can you guys handle that? You got jobs and ladies and pets. Probably.
It was last weekend when I was about to mow the grass in real life. And I put off mowing the grass because I had to go clean my town, the weeds from growing in my town.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am better, and I think you wrote that piece on this, Ethan, I'm better at chores in that game than I am in real life.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the moment when you realize I think I've got my priorities mixed up by how much I'm playing this game, but I can't believe I've stuck with it. That's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. I love talking about it. It's fun, like I said a while back, that Twitter is still talking about it. There's always somebody chatting about New Leaf, and New Leaf stories they're just charming and harmless and fun. So
yeah, they're just so simple, and it's just kind of you build up more and more of the backstory and what's happening in your town, and you get attached to the villagers. Like Bones left Justin.
Fucking Bones.
Fucking Bones.
It just left me.
That sweater wearing dog.
He just left me with an angry goat named Gruff and this monkey that just wants to weightlift all the time. And I can't get a beat on him, but I'm excited because Frank is moving into town tomorrow and I don't know what he's going to be. I'm really hoping that he is a pig, but I think that would...
I think Frank's a good pig name.
Yeah, so... But more of that and... In the next 2 weeks, we'll do a curse checkpoint and just finally get it all out of our system. We'll leave all the fruit on the table at that point.
The Crossing.
Oh, let's see. What else you got? I think you and Ethan can tag team this one a little bit.
All right. So, yeah, Ethan got me excited to play more Borderlands 2. Also, just that Tiny Tina DLC coming out, the Assault on Dragon Keep, or Dragon's Keep, whatever it's called. And I was still struggling to get through Torque's campaign of destruction or explosions. I just can't know what these titles are. But, yeah, I just play the game. I shoot stuff until the credits roll. And I'm like, I'm falling behind on these. Tiny Tina's out. Everyone's singing its praises. Like, this is the best DLC that Gearbox put out for Borderlands 2. I played the pirate one before that and was kind of like, oh, I can look like a pirate now. But that story wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, Ethan's play it. I'll jump in. I'll, you know, spoil myself a little bit. I've now since caught up to that point. So I got to see all the beginning of it. And it is really good.
Mm-hmm.
If all the DLCs were like this, Borderlands 2 retroactively game of the year, fuck you, Mass Effect 3.
Wow.
But that's not the case, so.
Yeah. If the entirety of the season pass was in 2012 with the game's release, then that's one hell of a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so,
a solid game.
Ethan, your review went up today for Tiny Tina, and what stuck out to me was that you compared it to Blood Dragon, which made a lot of sense, but I completely had forgotten about Undead Nightmare. And
yeah.
And then, you know, it's a little bit like the Zombie Island, but even more so that it takes a lot more freedom. And I don't know, reading descriptions for this DLC, I didn't think it would work. And it just sounds like it works amazingly well.
Well, it works because it doesn't sound like it can work. I mean, the thing about Borderlands 2 is it's already kind of a crazy game, and they already can. I mean, it's not like, you know, with the Red Dead Redemption or Far Cry 3, where like them stepping outside their comfort zone is like a big deal and it's really noticeable. They had to go above and beyond for Borderlands 2 because it's already a pretty zany game. And like when I was writing my article, my article was at first, you know, like 1,200 words, 1,500 words, and I thought, you know, here's the fact of the matter is, I want to be as concise as possible with it, because this is what Gearbox, and again, it's tough to produce these kind of DLCs. You have to have some weak DLCs. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You buy a season pass.
Unless you're irrational and just don't release them.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're going to have some weak ones. And the other DLCs were just good additions. It was more content, you know, great. This one was just all around just really pleasing. And again, in a lot of these games, the lust for loot is what actually energizes you or fuels you to actually play them. And that's not bad. That's not a problem. But what you get into is the fact of the matter is that game developers think they can just use that. So, loot. You're happy, different enemies maybe, you're going to level up more. But we need a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. And this game gave it to you. I mean, it was a funny game. It was storyline-wise, it was goofy, but it was entertaining. I laughed. I actually almost cried a little bit because you deal with, a certain... I didn't really cry. I don't cry. I don't have those emotions. But, you know, dealing with some things that happen at the end of Borderlands 2, we won't spoil that unless you know, since a lot of people haven't beat it. But,
I caught on to that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of like they just went. I don't know. They went in a direction that was zany, but still grounded within the universe, and everything about it just worked. Like there was, I can't think of an aspect of the game of the DLC that just like I was like, oh, you know, I'm bored of this. I mean, even the I mentioned in the review that the fetch quest, like I even wanted to do the fetch quest because it was going to steer me in a direction that maybe I had missed, you know. And like, I don't think of Borderlands 2 as an adventure game. It does not have the same sort of motivation for, you know, like digging into every little nook and cranny. This game did though, because there was, you know, funny stuff throughout. They gave a ton of fan service to the geeks in all of us, but they also just shredded us to pieces. I mean, and you just kind of realize how silly our geek society that we've created is, because they poke fun at all this stuff, this kind of elitist aspect of things, and they played up a lot of that stuff, but made it funny and made it fun. And so at the end of it, you were like, ah, I'm kind of an asshole, but you're like, but it was fun anyway, you know. And just those little digs combined with a story that actually had like a lot of emotion to it, surprisingly. I mean, it's a funny DLC, but I mean, man, there's the end is not what you would expect, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's not what you would expect. And this got me excited for the possibility of the season 2, which is the biggest, you know, thing that I take away from this is that season 1 DLC for Borderlands 2, it was good. Mm-hmm. This made it great. This made it phenomenal. This made it worth investing in. And you know, Borderlands 2 was one of the, you know, games that I would definitely invest in a season pass with. And if season 2 does come out, which it's rumored to be coming out, I'm excited for it because I'm like, okay, where can they take it from here? Also, because I don't know how my character can get any more powerful. But even then, like in this DLC, you're challenged. You know, like I'm throwing down 2 turrets right now. You know, I'm like lighting people up, and I'm still not overly powerful. So I mean, in terms of balancing, holy shit, like they've done a really good job with it. So I mean, again, there's a lot of thought and love that went into this, and a Gearbox, you know, kind of got chewed up a little bit in the past year. I'm glad to see that they, you know, came out and they were like, you know, fuck it, whatever, you know, we'll move past this. So if you got Borderlands 2, even if you don't get any of the other DLC, get this. Like, seriously, get this. Like, you will
awesome.
You will thank me for it.
Personally.
You'll personally thank me for that, yeah.
Send all your fan mail to Ethan in Germany.
Yep.
So I don't know,
Box, Germany.
Aaron, how much Borderlands you've played. So did you beat the main game?
I've beaten, yeah, the main game of Borderlands 2.
Yeah, because this is just one of those games that is going to forever suffer from my PC upgrade. all these games in limbo that I was 3/4 of the way done with on a console and restarting on PC. I don't know what I should do about... I really want to play the Tiny Tina stuff, but I have to beat that entire game, and that's like 30 hours away. So,
Yeah, it's like a really tough one. I know we started playing through it again, and I don't know if it really goes faster if you have 4 people, since it does scale, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it was worthwhile to get through Borderlands 2. I did it solo, but yeah, if you've already started it so much and it had to do all that again...
Yep. Oh, I'm not starting again, but I'd still need to push through, like...
Okay.
There's still a lot of repetitive content for me, but I love that game. Like, it definitely scratches an itch, and will be in the rotation for quite a while, especially because I've got that even brighter carrot of Tiny Tina out there, so... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's a good carrot.
Ethan, what else have you been playing, man?
So, the other game that I got interested in this past weekend, because PC Gamer had threw up a screenshot of what they were playing at that time. They were not throwing up, though I'm sure maybe somebody did. You never know. A game called Zafe House Diaries, which is I guess the best way I could describe it is a single-player kind of pen-and-paper zombie-themed RPG put onto the computer. You manage 5 random characters through a zombie apocalypse. You manage resources. You just all the kind of stuff that you would do in a pen and paper type RPG. Kind of like the the Outbreak Undead. What was that? That zombie RPG we saw it.
That was I think it's Outbreak Undead.
Outbreak Undead. It's just something very similar to that. And actually, I streamed that the other day quite unsuccessfully. The stream worked, but I didn't do very well in it. But
I logged in, and I was like, are you playing a tabletop game?
Yeah, and that's what it got me really... I think the game did 2 things for me. One, I've been playing games that are just graphically, like, they don't leave a lot to the imagination in the sense that, like, I don't really have to think too hard. Like, everything that I need to see, I'm seeing. You know, I've got Skyrim and Borderlands 2. It's just like I don't use my imagination a whole lot, you know, and that's not a bad thing. But for someone who like me who writes, you know, both, you know, for the website and I write, you know, the nonfiction, but I want to write fiction as well. And sometimes when you play games, that scratch is itched, you know, if we're talking about itching scratches or scratching itches. But this game did just that, you know. It is minimalist. There's, you know, there's some graphics, there's some ambient music, some sound effects, but like my mind was doing all the work for the most part, and it was awesome. I mean, it was a lot of fun. The scenarios that play out are, you know, again, they're random, but you know, you can kind of, there's a strategy to it, which again I failed to realize throughout the whole time while I was playing. But the other thing it made me really want to do is like play some pen and paper games. Like I want to sit down with a group of people and hash out these scenarios. I never thought of myself as like a fantasy pen and paper type person. I just don't know if I have the commitment to that, but like a zombie type one or something more maybe grounded in reality. I know that sounds really strange when comparing to zombies. Like I want to do something like that. And it got me pumped up to do that. And I think this is a good example of, like in the past, board games transitioned to video games. You played board games, and then people got interested in video games. This is like the missing link almost, you know? And it's come out like way far in advance. Is if you've been playing video games, you play this game, and then it makes you want to play board games. So, I mean, that's kind of what I think people need to transition either way, you know? But I got excited, but also sad because like there's not a whole lot of people around to play those games at convenient times.
I've got an idea for you.
Morning.
I've got an idea for you. a new video series for you. We'll call it Tabletop Jackass, where you just basically go out in public, film yourself, and act like you're in the middle of a tabletop pen and paper RPG with these people and just, like, start giving them orders or start, like acting out scenarios with them that they didn't know they were a part of.
If I didn't live in Germany, I would try that. But unfortunately, people give me weird looks for smiling and laughing for no apparent reason when I'm listening to podcasts. I don't know how well that would work out.
Maybe I'll try it at Gen Con.
Well, I think it's worthwhile. I mean, I think it's worth trying in a nation that is not as defensive of their emotions. Because we love everybody in America. Here, you have to actually put effort into making friends with someone before they'll trust you. Yeah, that's how, you know.
Well, we've liked everybody in America since Mad Men, since the 60s.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, back then it wasn't the same. But I mean, go out and play this game. Like, wow, it was cool as hell.
Interesting. I don't know where you pulled this one out of, man. That was. I just saw you streaming early in the morning. I'm like, what is he? And he's playing a tabletop game. I need a lot of caffeine before I can understand what's happening right here. But,
it was funny because I was like narrating the cool thing about it though is one aspect of the game that's really interesting is it actually creates a diary for you. So like after you go through the scenario, like it every move that you've done, it actually creates a little story. So you have the diary of your gameplay session. And that's cool right there. I mean, it's not, it's not like you're writing a novel, but it's kind of interesting to go back and say, oh, this is what, this is why everyone died and that kind of stuff. So a lot of cool ideas with that game, like really some really great things. And again, it was the perfect game to complement my my viewing of World War Z, I think. Two different types of zombies, but still good nonetheless. So go pick that fucking game up now. I'm being demanding tonight. That's my thing. I'm not being mean, but I'm being demanding.
What's a safe house?
I guess it's a. I don't know.
He got really into it.
Yeah, I kept saying it. And I was like, you feel like you're saying something wrong. Apparently, safe house diaries has probably been taken. So they
We have to redo much artwork if we do that. Let's see, what have I been doing? The new game this week that Coop and I played was Gun Monkeys. So this is just it's a $9 game, so keep that in mind. But it's a procedurally generated one-on-one deathmatch game. Just monkeys with guns, vector graphics, ragdoll physics, lots of blood, a British commentator, random weapons, and... The trick to this game is that the deaths don't really matter. They penalize you, but it's all about you basically have this like generator that you need to keep full of power, and all these little cubes start dropping randomly throughout the level, and you have to go pick them up and rush them back to your generator to keep it full of power. And if you get shot, you drop your cubes and your it takes a while to respawn, and the entire time it's burning power, and the other guy's collecting his power cubes and powering his generator. And whoever runs out of power first loses. So that's actually... It took us two rounds to figure out that that's why we were losing, because Coop and I were playing this and just shooting the hell out of each other and blowing each other up with mines and trying to get used to how the platforming works, because it's really floaty. You kind of... You can cling to ledges, you can jump up walls... but by the end of it, we were having fun because we had a couple good tug-of-war matches where I thought I had the thing in the bag and he came back and I ended up winning. And then we stopped playing when my game froze because we got to he was just about to beat me, which I think I actually went undefeated in like five matches. But in this last match, I was running back to my generator and it was counting down to zero. And the connection lag must have been to the point where I saved it with like one energy left on my screen, but it triggered that he won on his screen. So So he's like on chat saying, I won. And I'm like watching this game and shooting him, and then I win, and it tells me I won. And then it just didn't know how to like drop us back into the lobby after that point. But it's only been out for like a week. It's definitely very, very indie game, but it's got a nice little personality. And if you're looking for like a one-on-one game and you got a couple of buddies that are into that, I can see it filling a niche there, but it's a very small niche. It didn't do anything that made it like stand out or be fun, be hilarious, or be awesome in any specific way. But we had fun with the competitive nature side of it. But there's just, I feel like there's a lot of other games that kind of fill this void too. So, as fun as the name sounds, it was okay.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of those kind of games, kind of especially in Steam Greenlight, it seems like people are kind of moving in that direction, and I don't think that's one of those. I mean, just like you said, like that's, I don't think we need too many of those games. You know, like I kind of think about the same thing with MOBAs. Like, I feel like everybody wants to make a MOBA now, and I feel like, you know, a couple MOBAs is fine, but you don't need a bunch of MOBAs.
Yeah, definitely. And it needs a single player campaign to go along with it. It's just out there on its own for $10 as just a pure multiplayer experience. What I did think was kind of neat was I hadn't played a game that ties into basically Steam groups and Steam chat rooms, because it had us just join our group, and anybody that had the game and was in your groups, like we used the Horrible Night group on Steam, and that's how we found each other in the lobby and were able to challenge each other to play games. So there could be...
That's cool.
Theoretically, yeah, just people hanging out and that, and you're just, you know, that's how you're swapping games and playing with a big group. So, that was interesting, but it seems like the groundwork for something bigger for an indie developer. It was just like they wanted to, you know, experiment with procedurally generated levels and, you know, online deathmatch and, you know, netcode for that sort of thing. And, you know, they put kind of a humorous skin on top of it, but, you know, I you can see that leading to something bigger, but this game is kind of forgettable. So, but then just another big winner from last week was Deadpool. I played about three hours of this total. Chat even gave up on the game. I tried to really like this game. Even I think I even had an upbeat attitude at the end of the game curious video that I did, and like immediately after I cut off the game curious, there just like this hilarious boss fight and this hilarious outro from the boss fight, and just weird shit starts happening in Deadpool's world, and I was like, yeah, do more of this. If you just like throw variety at me for no reason, this could be fun. But the problem is you just have generic combat in between all of the fun kind of aesthetic layer to it, because the Deadpool character is voiced really well and he's funny, and the game is just, I mean, it's just the humor is in your face. You'll either like it immediately or hate it immediately. But it sticks to it, which I really appreciated. And once Cable shows up kind of a couple hours in, the back and forth between Deadpool and Cable is pretty funny. And I really like, I enjoyed all the quips. I enjoyed all the dumbness of the game. But man, that combat, it's not bad, but it is boring to play through, and then just random enemies will show up that are just bullet sponges that just take the suck the life out of it. And if you die, the checkpointing is kind of questionable, and you just have to replay long sections, and it's just like this game hinges on the personality, so just let it go. Like, nobody is playing this game for a challenge, so don't, why even fake it? Why even just throw these little roadblocks at me? Let's just blow shit up, laugh at it, and just be done with it, and give me this game for $25. Like,
I was surprised, I was surprised at the price, because it just kind of popped up. I mean, I know people have been talking about it, but it just kind of popped up. I just saw the trailer maybe 2 weeks ago, which, I gotta say, the trailer completely turned me off, and I love Deadpool, but I was like, I don't know if we need another... I don't know. Like, the character Deadpool is interesting in terms of, like, the universe, but in terms of a game, like, you're not bringing any new mechanics to it. He's got guns, he's got swords, and he can regenerate. And that doesn't really make for a great game.
Does he teleport in the comics? Is that or is that just, I feel like a thing they might have added on for the game.
That was in the X-Men Origins. Okay. Wolverine. He, when they introduced the Deadpool character there, which they completely ruined him. They he could teleport because he was a conglomeration of all the different mutants that had been absorbed. But like,
oh.
But I like him comic wise. I think he'd make a great movie. Video game wise, like,
yeah,
why go for it?
It was just like Activision filling Marvel quota. Like, we need to make X number of Marvel games and. You know, Deadpool sounds like a fun idea, and it, you know, there was nothing wrong with it. This was High Moon Studios, the guys that did the Transformers games.
Yeah.
Like, the foundation is solid. It's just, yeah. as much personality it has, like I said, on the aesthetic side, it has absolutely none, or negative so, in the gameplay department. And,
yeah.
So it was like $10 cheaper than, like, a full release, I think across the board, and... But it's just really, there's not enough there. Like, watch for it. God, watch for it when it drops to budget price and then play it on easy. And just sprint through it if you like Deadpool at all and can get into Nolan
like
North's version of it. Yeah, I regretted playing it on medium just because, no, I just want to just go. I just want to see the next thing because, you know, all of a sudden he might be riding a unicorn or a white tiger or whatever he was doing or playing in an 8-bit game. And so I gave, you know, I just kind of winged it because I wanted to kind of support what High Moon Studios was doing. But I think Activision has since laid off a bunch of those people, and it just seemed like a game that they got out in this quarter because they had to. And Activision will do that. They'll try to get behind a game, but if it's not turning out, they're still going to put it out the door, kind of like X-Men Destiny. And like, so that was kind of unfortunate, because if they had been able to develop some sort of gameplay hook to the game, it could have been fun or memorable. But now it's just, you know, harmless comic book game. So
yeah,
pretty much.
Let's see, we're kind of running along here. As for The Last of Us, all I kind of want to say, I'm still playing that, 3/4 of the way through it, and Aaron, I'll let you speak to the game in a little bit, because I know you finished it, but man, I cannot play that game for more than 60 or 90 minutes at a time. It's just, it is so heavy. It is just, and I really get into it. Like, I don't think this will impact every player of the game, but, like, I really identify with Joel. They've done just a really great job with that character, just for, you know, you don't really understand his motivations, and I don't think he does either, and I just really like that setup, that he's just kind of doing the next thing that he thinks he needs to do to survive, and just, something's happened that game, and you don't know if that was the right thing to kill that dude, but it's just, like... You know, him or us, man, and that's just kind of the immovable force that pushes you through that game. And I'm actually really enjoying the combat. It's kind of predictable as far as they kind of telegraph when, okay, now you're going to go to an action sequence versus you're scavenging. And that can get a little bit repetitive, but it's done so well and just crafted so well that it's hard to fault it for it. And it is an amazing game, and it's going to stick with me for a really long time. I can't wait to see it through.
Yeah, you're really close. You should definitely finish that game off as soon as possible. Just get all the heavy sadness out of playing The Last of Us. It is... I'm surprised, like you said, you can only play for like an hour, hour and a half at a time, but I would sit there for hours just trying to, like, I wanted to finish this game before someone like on the internet spoiled it for me, and I would sit there for hours, and, I mean, holy shit, just to even talk about the intro, when I think of it in my head, I'm like, oh, it's kind of a very cliche kind of, you know, the outbreak is beginning, you know, here's the character, he's got a daughter, but then things play out, and... Unlike Ethan, who knows no tears, I was like, am I about to, you know, start sniffling when the game's only been going for, like, 30 minutes?
That fucking intro, man. Like, I'm really curious with The Walking Dead 400 Days coming out this week.
Yeah.
By the way, that's fucking come out this week.
Oh, shit, yeah.
I'm curious to see... how much I like The Walking Dead after playing The Last of Us.
I've heard that. That is, you are not the first person that said that.
Damn it. No. Yeah, you're being revelatory right now. This is unique content.
Dude, I haven't played it yet, but my little brother was talking about it, and he kind of said the same sort of thing. And I think people are going to know, like, how much, like, The Walking Dead, we're not taking anything away from The Walking Dead.
Right.
But just to imagine The Walking Dead with gameplay that was a engaging. Bit more engaging, holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Like, so we're not saying, you know, Walking Dead sucks, but what's the next level of Walking Dead? Like, what could you do with that? Survival Instinct. That's what. I will say, I have managed to avoid every spoiler in terms of Last of Us. So I'm, like, really happy right now.
So what's your plan? Like, do you think you're going to be able to play it in the next year, or what are you going to do?
Yeah. I'm working on some stuff. I'm working on putting the place, because as far as I'm concerned, my computer could explode any day now, so I'll need something. But I just need to get stuff together.
That's why we're training Aaron to be able to fill in for you on this podcast.
Oh
so.
Yeah, we have to have. We have to have something in case of
I need
of
people
emergency.
To talk to, damn it.
But no, I'm really looking forward to it. And again, my little brother, who was being very anti-Last of Us early on, he was like, he was talking about Uncharted 3, and he really liked Uncharted 3, but he just kept saying, it was a movie.
Yes,
and he was like,
is.
Last of Us is just going to be a movie. Mm-hmm. Should I be excited? I was like, I think you should be excited. But he was like, are you sure I should be excited? I was like, well, I don't know for sure, but I don't know. And he got it. He was like, holy shit. He was like, I'm fucking pumped. So that's a good
I think all the worries about the game were still kind of justified, but it was really satisfying to see Naughty Dog pull it off again, because it is an incredible, incredible experience. So
yeah.
It's such a strong game. I just you feel like shit just playing it.
from the technology side, though, it's really amazing to just at the end of this console generation to just see a developer that literally knows every ins in and out of the PlayStation 3. Like, it just knows how, like, they pull off so many little shortcuts to make the game look amazing when it shouldn't. Like, it's one of the best looking games I've ever played, and it's still on that console. Like, it's one of those few games that, you know, jumping back from a maxed out PC game, that I don't have an issue jumping into this world. It's you can almost just see them having fun with it, because they can do things with that system that no other developer can do, and that's always the advantage of those kind of first-party developers, that they just get to know that system like it's their freaking child. And
I just want to follow Naughty Dog to the grave when it comes to playing their games. I could just what will they do next gen?
I want them to get Legacy of Kain, but that's just my dream. So that won't
Someone
happen.
Should.
Yeah, they need to do something fantastical, though. They've got realism down, so they need to. I think they need to do something with magic or sci-fi or just something, you know, supernatural. Maybe they do like a comic booky type thing too.
Well, they're making the progression. I mean, they went from somewhat
Crash Bandicoot.
It's you know,
that's what they need. Did you ever see the artwork or the like the early artwork for the potential realistic Jack and Daxter game?
No.
It almost seemed like a joke, but there's some freaky renderings of like a realistic Daxter.
I don't want to.
That sounds scary. It's like the realistic Mario and Luigi's horrifying.
Last game I want to give a shout out to, because I haven't been able to talk about this, but I did do a playthrough of Super Metroid, which was a new kind of stress for me to play a game I'm super familiar with, like in front of a live audience on live stream. But I did see the game through, and I have to kind of relive my perfect ending to that game, because I could never, ever pull this off again. Metroid games are kind of known for, you know, after you beat the boss, you've got to run out of this place before it blows up, and you have a certain time limit. If you watch my attempt at exiting this game, realized, one, that I've probably beaten this game 25 or 30 times in my life, and two, I managed to choose every potential wrong way to go on my way out of this place. I had two just like devastating falls that made me restart a jumping section. I got stuck. I didn't know how to open a door right from the beginning. There's actually a portion where you can you meet some little creatures on the planet and you can save them too on your way out. I didn't have time to do that. But all of this, I still managed to make it to my ship. Like, you jump on your ship and you're just supposed to take the little elevator down in the ship and you'll take off. I managed to make it on top of my ship with 2 seconds left, and I couldn't get her lined up to hit down to hit the elevator before the timer went off. And it was just, I could never pull that off again. Like, that was more impressive than, you know, me solving it in, like, half the time the next run. But it was, that was the absolute worst and best way to end that game. It kind of summed up a lot of all of my retro gaming recently, is that I kind of know some stuff, but I'm still, like, a big danger to myself when I'm playing those games. So, by the way, Super Metroid, still an awesome game, and it's amazing how thick the atmosphere still is for a game that old. Like, it just,
yeah.
It's incredible. So
yeah, it's like Nintendo knew what they were doing at one point.
Sounds like it. Yeah, they must have.
All right, I think that's it for the.
Are you not going to talk about Skyrim, dude?
Do you want me to talk about Skyrim?
I want to have a little bit of Sky. Just quick.
All right.
I want to see how you're feeling. I sent.
I was pumped. I was pumped.
I sent Justin some mods after, you know, he had to ask me, I think, 3 or 4 times, which is usually what he has to do to get anything out of me sometimes. But
I have reminders on my phone to remind me to remind you.
what's happening in Skyrim, dude?
I got pumped up. Okay, first of all, you sent me the list of mods, and that just enacted my confidence that, yes, I have this list of mods that I know will not crash my game and won't run like shit. Somebody I know that wouldn't put up with this bullshit has vetted these mods for me. So that was kind of fun. I went through the Steam Workshop for the first time and just subscribed to the half dozen mods that you recommended. One of which made the game a little bit too dark, so I ended up getting onto the Nexus Mods forum or whatever that's called, and getting a tweaked version of that, so nighttime isn't so, I don't need a torch to get around points. But once I made that adjustment, I just got heavy into it, and the game looks incredible. Just a lot of the Vista stuff and what they do with the fog rolling off the mountains, that kind of shit. Like we got, I think it's the Climates mod that's doing that, but I was just looking at everything for the first hour, and then trying to remember how the hell to play this game. I just got completely lost, and eventually did my first little dungeon, and that kind of came back to me and made it to Whiterun. I told this story on Top Video Game Podcast, but I did make the mistake of killing a chicken. Like, this is, like, apparently well known that you do not kill chickens in Skyrim, because...
Don't you dare kill chickens. Oh, my God.
Dude, they will kill you for that. It doesn't make any sense.
It's like the Wild West. You can't steal a horse, they'll hang you. You know, that's a chicken's a man's...
Chicken's a man's horse.
I did it so innocently, and, like, and after the fact, like, the way my save point, my checkpoint worked, I mean, they killed me once, but the checkpoint was at the point that the chicken was already dead, so the town was just pissed at me. And, like, so I tried to run away, and, like, after I killed the shopkeeper, because I, in self-defense, like, the blacksmith and the blacksmith's wife chase me out of town for miles and won't leave me alone. And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna have to kill your wife. And
why would you kill him? He's a beefy beefcake. Why wouldn't you take him?
Well, he was attacking me, so he was gonna die no matter. Like, I didn't have a problem killing him. Like, he had weapons and was coming at me, but I was like, lady, please just go.
Convince
it doesn't
your
have
husband.
To end this way. And yeah, if you kill one, you gotta kill them both. So, so
gotta
that
kill
was
them in pairs.
That was traumatic. I'm working on that highlight clip, but that was. I don't know how, like, out of, like, all the Skyrim memes that I didn't pick up on the chicken one, that's a just such a deadly sin. Yeah, I killed the first dragon, and then I'm going to try to sprint through the early part of the story and then just go explore. But, man, I could drop so much time in that game so quickly if I'm not careful. So I'm trying to finish, you know, Last of Us and before I get too heavy into it. But it could eat up my summer if that's kind of where I'm headed.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad I have somebody to talk about because I haven't played it for a while. I've kind of taken a step back because I was losing my identity to Skyrim again. the weird thing is, like, people will still talk about Skyrim on the internet. Like, you know, there's a lot of games that kind of have their moment in the sun and then people move on. People are still loving up on Skyrim. So
coming up on 2 years, Skyrim going strong.
And just to add, anybody that's playing Skyrim on PC, and if you have to get any mod to put into it, it's the climate mod. I think
Climates of Tamriel.
The climate mod. Oh my god, that does so much to the game. It's unreal.
Anytime I talk about Skyrim, that's what I want to go do. So
try to play that on. You have it on Xbox too, don't you?
Yeah.
Have you gone from PC to Xbox just to, like, PC with mods to Xbox to look at it?
I should. Well, so when I played it on 360, I played it when there was that bug that the high-res textures weren't actually, like, I had them loaded, but they wouldn't actually work. So yeah. I'm making a pretty big leap as far as the graphics go. But I think there's a way to actually port the save. I gotta see if that still works. I've got, like, a... You know, I'm halfway done with the story. I've got like a level, I want to say, you know, mid-20s, 30, level 30 character maybe. But so starting over was kind of daunting. If I can get through this first part. Oh, I also, the little cheat, I don't know if you want to call this a cheat mod, but I did grab the mod that highlights books that you haven't read yet. Because
I think that's acceptable.
That's useful.
I think that.
Yeah. Because I'll get lost in that because I like reading that stuff, so.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on to Horrible Night stuff. What are you guys actually working on the site as far as maybe games you want to stream and our editorial stuff that we are working on in the background? I need to find a new retro game to play. Beat Super Metroid. Right now I'm debating on streaming one of the Game Boy Advance Castlevania games. Like, I thought about doing Symphony of the Night, but that seemed like everybody streams Symphony of the Night. So I might do, I forget the names of them now, but probably the second.
Circle of the Moon?
No,
Harmony
that's the...
Harmony of Dissonance?
Probably Harmony of Dissonance, because that's, like, they did a little graphical leap between those two.
Yeah,
Circle of the Moon, though, I don't know, I don't think that'll look all that good, but that game is hard and kind of rewarding to play, so I'm going to see how they look.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I would watch that. I missed out on all of the Game Boy Castlevania games, so I'd be into that.
That could work.
I've not seen Harmony, so I'd like to see that one in action.
And then the other question is, I did start the Resident Evil remake and took a break from it. I also feel like, honestly, I feel like my character's in a really bad position as far as I have wasted a ton of ammo, and I've learned how to play the game again. So do I restart, or do I continue from where I'm at?
I think you have to. I think it's going to be a waste of your time if you've wasted that much ammo.
Yeah, I'm not ready for the hunter to show up, because I'm just fucked. Like,
oh, you wasted that much? Oh, shit, yeah, no, you need to start over. Yeah, start over.
It got bad. good bad, but yeah, start that game over.
As far as modern games, I think I'm going to try to finish my playthrough of Tomb Raider. I think that's kind of my ongoing single-player game. But we also need to pick a... Now that the Dickfish video is in the bag, we need to pick another Ho Night Game Night game and get that publicized. So be on the lookout for that. What are you guys thinking streaming-wise? Maybe Ethan.
Well, you know, I have. I'm celebrating 4th of July in a special way. I'll be doing a lot of streaming, and I think that actually tonight, Rogue Legacy kind of became my go-to quickie game.
Yeah.
But I also downloaded Baldur's Gate and Dust and Elysian Tale. I kind of want to do a playthrough of Dust because I gave Dust a bunch of shit for very just superficial reasons, and I do apologize. It looks like a great game. I was just being a dick, because sometimes people are dicks, but I'm trying to change that. Because I watched a trailer for that again, like maybe last week, and I think maybe the trailers I watched earlier just didn't. I just wasn't paying attention. Oh my! I mean, holy shit! That's a fucking gorgeous game.
Yeah,
like, it's insane, and that's a. I think that'll be a solid game to do that. But Baldur's Gate, like I missed that game. Like I never played that game.
I want you to play Baldur's Gate.
And that's yeah, like, I want to see that. That's what I'm kind of looking at. Like I'm looking at kind of a big. I was gonna stream a bunch of different games on Thursday, but like watching the Baldur's Gate trailer, I was like, well, this may be one of those games that I just play this one, you know. But I'm getting more consistent with these. So I try to switch between multiple games, which doesn't always play out as well as you'd think. Mm-hmm. I think still I've made like a new friend on stream. Or on Steam.
Aww.
On stream.
Stream.
On Steam. For Borderlands 2. My buddy.
Steam streamers.
Steam streamers, we're here for you. Goobleboo, he and I have been playing. He's from.
Streaming.
He's from the Netherlands, and I think he and I are going to keep playing some games together and probably cool. play some Borderlands 2 more. So, yeah, no, definitely. We'll be streaming a lot more. I think I've got a lot of most of my computer issues have been worked out, so we should.
Nice. Aside from this one webcam-related podcast.
You know what? Yeah, and that's going to be – that's just stupid. Yeah, it's just really stupid.
Stream on, steaming friends.
Oh, Just Cause 2. Holy shit, that came back in a big way. Yeah, there's a bunch of mods actually that we're gonna load up for Thursday. Dude, why have we not been playing that game? I forget why.
Hey, I played it a while back, but yeah, I don't know.
I need to get So that'll be another one that's gonna be featured. A lot of games. I'm gonna basically play games on Thursday until I can't do it anymore because I'm.
We're not guaranteeing a 24-hour live stream, but it's until Ethan's done.
I'll do my best.
So it could be 2 hours or it could be 30.
It could be 30 minutes. It could be a solid 30 minutes depending on what I'm drinking. No, it'll be more than that. It'll be at least an hour.
Well, you're looking at like 10 a.m. Eastern. That was the estimate right now.
Yes, 10 a.m. Okay. Eastern, we'll be just going through it. I mean, definitely tell people to come in and come and chit-chat and just have some fun because I know not
you're out of the barbecue.
Celebrates towards July.
You're at a barbecue. Go rent a projector and just put it up for the family to watch. And
I don't expect anybody in America to be there. I'm okay with that. Like I'm fine with that. I mean, get up early maybe and support me. But
I'll show up randomly in chat on my iPad and just make comments like I can see the stream. you working on anything? Well, I know Aaron, your streaming plans are kind of they're upcoming. We're still figuring out your.
They're very tentative. I'm debating actually starting a stream tomorrow, where just because it's a fun thing to do, I might play Rogue Legacy and offer my perspective of the game. I'm a little far there, and there's like four bosses. So Justin, beat that eyeball. Maybe I can defeat, I believe it's a skull or something of some sort. I did attempt it once.
I like the idea of tag-teaming Rogue Legacy. You get the second boss, Ethan will get the third boss. We'll convince Coop to get the fourth boss.
the third boss sounds tough.
And then we will all stream from our own channels to try to race to beat the fifth one.
That is amazing. So yeah, we could do something like that, or I can just go through my backlog. I've got some games I can play, so at some point I'll try to get more regular, but I might, dip a foot in tomorrow, do some Rogue Legacy, but I need to get back into the habit of riding radio waves. I've fallen off with E3.
You were close.
Yeah, I was so
E3,
close.
It fucked us all up, though. I'm still reeling from E3. I don't know what the deal was,
We were close to being in a groove again right before E3, and then it just,
I got wrecked. Sony, Big T, Big Daddy Trenton just dropped some bombs on me, and I had no idea how to respond. He threw a mic, and I was like, well, fuck, I can't write. But I'll get back into that. I'll try to get some reviews down. Justin and I can knock out some checkpoints.
Yeah, checkpoints.
Animal Crossing. We'll talk about stuff.
What was the other game we were going to talk about? We're going to do Animal. I feel like
Bioshock Infinite. Talk about Bioshock. I'm telling you, Justin, finish that fucking game before you finish Last of Us. Because Josh Lee and I talked about it for a little bit before a podcast, and we had to shut up as soon as you came on. Because oh man.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I've actually thought about now, at this point, might be safe to actually stream that entire game. So maybe that'll push me through it. So, I think I might have been a last... we'll probably do a Last of Us checkpoint, actually.
I want to be part of that, but I can't. Oh, God, it's not live.
Ethan, have you... you got anything written word-wise that you're working on?
Oh, man, I've got a bunch of stuff. I actually have two things that we're working on, and I apologize to everybody that comes a horrible night. I have been not lazy, but I've strung myself between like a bunch of different projects. So we had the Oculus Rift video that's sitting there that is just a monster to edit right now. We definitely want to get that out because it was a lot of fun. It was a great session, it got me really excited for it.
If you need any audio samples of random men screaming dickfish, I have that library.
You know what? I may take you up on that. I'm trying to decide right now how well edited that is going to be. It's going to be interesting, but that's just one of those things sitting there. And then Michael Stearns and I talked last week and trying to get that interview edited, and it's a really great interview. He is... out of all the developers I've spoken to, I mean, the guy is just full of information, full of opinions. It's great to talk to him, and I try to convince him to come on one of these shows one of these days, so we'll see if that ever happens. But that's another thing that's going to be coming up. There's a Brotabulous sitting there. There's a Brotabulous just looking at me from across the room.
I'm
not sure exactly what it is.
Oh man, I watched the XCOM Brotabulous video the other day. That thing gets to me, man. That is a great piece of work.
You the problem is like I can't keep watching those old ones because like I think I almost hit a peak with XCOM. Because of the emotion behind it. Contra was good. Contra Saints Row 3 was fine. It was a little bit funnier. But after that, like, there's very few games that you can get the same appeal in, like, you do from XCOM. Because literally, like, those dudes are dying for you, you know? Mm. And that's going to be
tough. Why won't you let me?
Be there.
I'm about to die. Let me use my, like... grenade with all this alien technology to save myself.
once Xenonauts, once I can stream that, we'll probably get a little bit out of that because I can't say anything about it, but look up Xenonauts right now. If you liked XCOM, look up Xenonauts. Like, seriously, you're going to be fucking so excited. You're going to shit your pants.
I was pretty happy with how I did another video game memory leak, just kind of a retro review on Qbert, just the stuff that I didn't remember about the game, having played it 20, 30 years ago. So I'm looking to do more of the retro stuff. I do want to find some more silly stuff. Like I said, I want to bring back Reply to Walls, figure out if we can't have a weekly conversation with our writers, because they're still out there. They're all working on stuff. I have drafts from both Cole and Gifford. It's true. But also kind of find that way to bring back I Learned Something Today. It's still my favorite series on the site. Start to have some fun with our writing. We've been doing a lot of game coverage, like serious stuff. And I think our writing needs to have some more fun opportunities. But I say that, and the actual editorial I'm working on is the whole thing related to why I can't play Last of Us for more than 60 minutes at a time because it's so heavy.
I don't know what it is. Like, it's been heavy. Gaming has been really heavy lately. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it's the games we're playing or what, but it just seems like with the new generation, like, the pressure has been on. We struggle. Like our in Night Force a few weeks back, like, there was some anger, and I think it was mostly because of, Game of Thrones, but still, like, I think, like, the summertime is good for us. I think we're actually, like, smiling a little bit more. We're a little bit more excited. And I'm a lot more excited about video games right now.
Now's the time to be relaxed about video games too, and just enjoy them. Because this is a lull right before a new generation of games starts. So get caught up on the games you want to play. Play the games you want to play. You want to play 100 hours of Skyrim this summer? I'm behind you 100%.
Do it.
Not Ethan, because I need you to cover other games.
Yeah. I was going to say, as soon as I start feeling... Yeah, as soon as I tell Justin, I'm starting really getting back into games, he's like, okay, well, stay on top of the new games, you fucking asshole. Don't play Skyrim anymore.
All right, we get out of here with some random game pitches. Chat, if you have any just like blank descriptions you want us to run with as far as a game idea goes, we'll see where the tangents take us and try to define a few game concepts here. Aaron, I'm going to let you start. You don't really know where this is going, but your description makes me quite curious.
And that's when people get their grills out and they're going to barbecue. So I'm
hold on, hold on. I need you. Hold on. I need you to start over because I think the audio cut out. You start. Oh, no. Start fresh. Give us your pitch here.
Okay, so it's summertime. People are getting their grills out, and what better time to introduce a game about a barbecue sauce adventure, where you just go out, you'll gather a party people and just make the ultimate barbecue sauce, and you can get all sorts of just. You can just go wild with that. Like Telltale can make it, or it could just be like a third, a third person, just kind of
you grilling adventures.
Just grilling adventures. You gather all the ingredients you need to make the ultimate barbecue sauce. You fail along the way. You learn a little bit about yourself and life. Maybe you run into Paula Deen. That's topical. And at the end of the game. You either have a good barbecue sauce or you don't. Good ending.
You have the choices.
Yeah.
Oh, that's like a moral system.
You have a good ending or a bad ending.
You have good sauce or bad sauce ending.
Oh man.
Maybe a little neutral in there where people are like, it tastes like you bought it from the store. So who cares?
It's okay. I prefer rub. Yeah. No. I looked at the note. And I was like, what the fuck is he gonna do with this? And I'm convinced. I would kickstart that. I'd throw fucking $15 towards you for that game. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's Ethan, a great vehicle to introduce the world to cock wine, too.
Oh, man.
Barbecue and a glass
the horrible
of
night product placement that we can do in these types of games, that would be...
It's unbelievable.
Ethan, where do you think the misadventures of barbecue sauce, where does that take you?
Where does it take me, or where does it take the main protagonist of the game?
I just go. Just
because
go.
It takes me to Hunger Town. I apologize. Obviously, I think you're going to have to really deal with the barbecue trail. You know, you're going to have to, go. What kind of barbecue are you focusing on? You know, like real Southern barbecue, Kansas City, St. Louis. I mean,
barbecue sauce manager. Now I'm picturing
vinegar based.
At the beginning of the game, you choose your origin. Are you Southern? Are you Midwestern? Are you like some know nothing guy from Maine or something? Yeah. You just really want to learn about barbecue?
Your name is Kent Stevenson, a no-nonsense hotshot from Maine. They know you for lobster. You're here for the barbecue.
I'm in.
There's so much opportunity.
Yeah.
As long as Ethan gets to do the character development, I'm in. All right. Chat has a recommendation. Top Gun Beach Volleyball game. I am a huge... fan of Super Spike Volleyball. But it was way too heterosexual for me. So they somehow need to incorporate the soundtrack from Top Gun, and I don't know. Somehow it has to be you're
it's
playing
be a
this
montage.
Yes.
Yeah. It's pure montage game. Tough to play. Impossible to play even. But...
It's impossible to play.
I mean, is the objective of the game to like win over spectators or turn on the other team? That's kind of my
or
question.
Make everybody uncomfortable.
If this video game can make your mother stop vacuuming the living room long enough to pay attention to this, that's
pull her glasses down.
Yes.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing, the sunglasses down double take.
Huh?
Also
play that game.
I think now's as good a time as any, though, to let's make our perfect 4th of July video game. And prepping for Ethan's fight for freedom on Thursday, we really couldn't find that standout explosion-filled fireworks patriotism game. Mm-hmm. So let's make it. What does it need to have in it?
Wasn't Assassin's Creed 3 just basically 4th of July game.com?
I don't know. It's not really exactly pro America. So
yeah, it's really not pro America. I mean, obviously, you know, we're pro America. We're not pro American government. You know, let's just make that clear. Maybe we need and maybe this is too topical. Maybe we need an Edward Snowden adventure, which involves him. You know, it's like, where in the world is Edward Snowden? It's like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? But you don't have to answer questions. You just use your government's ability to spy on people to track him down.
You send out drones.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, but if you want the true patriotism that defines what America truly is, and not what our government is representing us as right now, you need to find and fight for freedom, and you need to do it against aliens.
Okay,
I think that, you know. It's been, wow, geez, can, right now it's been 17 years.
Can freedom be the name of your kidnapped daughter?
Freedom America, and your name is John Quincy America.
Freedom, where'd you?
Freedom, yeah. Oh man, it could be intense. It's probably set in the 80s because things were better back then. And you're no nonsense. You're from Maine. And you love barbecue sauce. So, there's a huge tie-in.
So this is a side story to the barbecue adventure.
It's a side story. Yeah, it's actually a side American quest, man, from the barbecue.
All American barbecue adventure.
I mean, that's how Fourth of July can you get? I mean, barbecue, beer, freedom, John Quincy Adams. I mean, excuse me, John Quincy America?
Aliens?
Aliens? I mean, when was the last time the world really came together?
What did the aliens do to the barbecue festival to incite this?
They showed up and they just shot laser beams down for no apparent reason.
I just want the shot of a dude about to take a big bite of, like, barbecue chicken and it being, like, shot out of his hand with a... some sort of alien technology.
He looks up straight up in the sky and goes, "Oh my!" And everyone's like, "Wait, we got it when you came back in '96 and you like killed everybody to get our resources, but we're just enjoying a good time." So not only are you aliens like fucking capitalistic, but you're fucking huge dicks as well. This is actually what the sequel to Independence Day is about: is the aliens couldn't take down our big cities, so they're going to take down our barbecue. And what they didn't realize was that was the biggest motivating factor for Americans to date, is we love our barbecue, and you fucking take it from us, you're gonna die.
Wait, it's the exact same setup, except their giant ships are positioned over barbecues and not monuments.
Kansas over City. People's backyards and parks.
Well, we've definitely got the movie of this video game. So is this a modern game? Is this a Contra shooter? What are we picturing? What's JQ America? How's he taking care of business?
Oh man, third person perspective, but okay. no cover mechanics. America doesn't need cover. He doesn't.
Can we bring back like Freedom Fighters style? Because
oh man, yeah.
Fuck yes, we can.
Freedom Fighters versus aliens. Like, organizing. Yes. Yeah. So they have destroyed our barbecues a long time ago. And somehow, like, the barbecue, like, having a barbecue, like, in a public area is, like, a symbol that this area is no longer under alien control.
Oh, my God. So, can I build the opening scene up? Here's the opening scene. 20 years in the future, all barbecues have been eliminated. Aliens have taken over, and everyone's like, "Well, we might as well give up. We're no longer humans. We're just fucking cattle. We're cattle. They're using us for food." And then they're like, "There's no hope." And they look over to a bridge, and on the bridge is in flames is a barbecue. Well, it's just a barbecue pit on the bridge. And then JQ Adams is standing atop this bridge, and he says, "Bane." Or wait, no, not Bane. aliens. And that's all he says. And then it shifts into 20 years ago. And then you see when the barbecues were killed, but also the side story of when his young daughter was taken from him.
Poor
Freedom America. And he thinks she's dead. And he wants revenge, finds out halfway through the game she's not dead. she actually has been converted to an alien human hybrid. So then, now you're tugging some heartstrings. Do you pick family or do you pick freedom? Well, I guess that would be the same thing. Do you pick freedom? Do you pick freedom and family, or do you pick your country? I mean, John Q's got a lot of decisions to make.
Or do you?
Spoiler alert. I'm gonna go ahead and say that if you choose to save her, she actually, because of her human alien hybrid skills, she becomes the best barbecue chef the world has ever known.
Yeah, it's a good ending either way.
Yeah,
that's spoiler alert. Sorry for the other side of it. If
I mean,
you don't save her, she comes back.
The bad ending is that everybody has barbecue. The good ending is that everybody has better barbecue.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Well, I think we just have to fill in the game in between that. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
All right. Night Force Action Report's going to get out of here. We're going to be back every Tuesday on Twitch TV. We record these live, but you can also subscribe to us on iTunes from HorribleNight.com. If you like the show, leave us a rating, leave us some comments, or come hang out and chat. And Aaron, Ethan, thanks for hanging out tonight. I'm going to go have some barbecue. So
freedom!
Freedom!
We'll see you guys later.
Do the dishes, please.
Clean your room.